How are we this morning? Great to see you all there, out there. Yes, we had a great night last night with Nath Moles really stirring us up with a great message that God had placed on his heart to share with us and really set the tone for this entire weekend. And it's good that you've made time to be here this morning. You're in for a great day. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because you know what? The great thing is people have prepared some great material from their knowledge and their expertise, but we all need to engage with it. And the difference comes when we start to engage with what's being shared and we work on this together, we can make a difference. So I want to encourage you to get your head around some stuff and get your heart ready and your mind ready to engage with what's being shared. You've been given the run through of where things are. And if you're like me, you're probably going to get lost anyway. But the crew are out there to help you, so that'll be good. But this morning, we want to kick our time off with Leah Robinson, who's going to share with us this morning. We're really excited to hear from Leah. Leah is 23. She works for Divisional Headquarters in Central North Queensland as the Social Justice and Child Sponsorship Coordinator. She's also a foster mum to a beautiful two-year-old girl. And she has a passion for social justice, and we heard a little from Leah last night, and from what I've got to know of her, she is passionate about social justice. She's a real fireball for the kingdom and is really a passionate woman of God. And she's particularly passionate in terms of social justice in relation to children. She's involved in many ministries in her local church here, and mainly involved with children's, youth and the youth band ministry. And so she's going to share with us this morning, and I'm sure we're going to be blessed by that. So let's welcome Leah as she comes to share with us this morning.
Thank you, Adrian. You're very kind. This morning I've been asked to talk about what is social justice, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about, I guess, some of the main social justice issues that are facing our world. And of course, most of this weekend will be about the issues that are facing Australia, because we really want you to understand the Australian issues. But as we've got all our wonderful speakers talking about that, they're going to follow up, I guess, after me with Australian issues. I'm going to talk about some of the international ones, and then they're going to talk about the, I guess, the Australian ones. So if you've got pen and paper, you might like to jot some of them down. But there is, as the video said, at the Resource Centre, most of the notes, a lot of the notes from the weekend you can get out there too. So if you can start the... Oh, sorry, there. That's good. Okay, so my topic is what is social justice? I'm just going to pray, so let's just pray first. God, we just want to thank you so much that we can just have the opportunity just to come and to learn more about your heart for justice. And we pray, God, that this morning, that as each of us speak, that you would speak through us. And God, that people's hearts and minds will be open and clear. God, this thing, this subject can be really emotional at times and quite draining. But God, we pray that, I guess, as it touches us and touches our heart, it won't depress us, but that it will motivate us to make a change. And that this weekend will be about that. Amen. Okay. So what is social justice? It's going to come up. Yeah. Social justice is the belief that all men, women, and children are created equal. And I guess that's probably the heart of what social justice is. That all people deserve the same rights and opportunity for quality of life. Social justice is bringing change so that no one suffers from any form of injustice. Social justice is standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves. There's that verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, we're supposed to help and support the widows and the children and the orphans that can't help themselves. And fighting for social justice is doing God's work. I know there's a lot of organisations that, I guess, are involved in social justice, but not really from God's perspective. But I think this is all about Jesus, this is all about God, and this is his heart. So I guess the Christian organisations and the churches that have a passion for this, this is really, we just have the added blessing of God's support behind us. Okay, I guess most of us would have in some time in our life, you know, we've heard of the what's it called, the Bill of Rights and all those sort of things, and in America, and the revolutions overseas, and Nathan talked last night, I think it was, about Wilbur Wilberforce, and all about the abolition of slavery. And so all those sort of things that have come before us, Martin Luther King Jr., all those things, those people stood for what was right and what was true. And yet we're still facing a lot of those challenges today, but in different ways, I suppose. And you'd be surprised, only yesterday, in McDonald's last night, I was standing next to someone, and I don't know how this conversation started. I must have said, I commented on her hair, I think it was. Anyway, we got talking, and she asked, what is this social justice conference? And I talked to her about, I used the word human trafficking, and I talked about that to her, and she didn't even know what it was. She didn't even think that sort of thing existed anymore. And most people don't. You talk to them, and they think that slavery no longer exists, especially in Australia, but unfortunately, it still does. Okay. We're going to look at some of the international, social justice issues. What are the biggest social justice issues facing our world? Number one is poverty. I think if we really look at it, poverty, most of the other social justice issues come from a lack of money, come from poverty, come from the desire to have more, the greed and things like that. And people make decisions when they need to feed their family, people make decisions that they normally wouldn't make. And so poverty is a major issue. According to UNICEF, 26,500 to 30,000 children die each day due to poverty. They die quietly in some of the poorest villages and are virtually invisible. If you say that's a statistic to most people, they would go, what? I didn't know that. Why is that not on the news? So these children are dying without us even knowing. And we hear the statistic, but we don't really take it in. There are 2.2 billion children in the world. 1 billion live in poverty. That's one in every two children. It's an incredible statistic. Half the world, nearly 3 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. I think Nathan mentioned that last night. And that's incredible. You think about it, it costs more than $2 for a loaf of bread. And a lot of these people are living on less than $2 a day. If current trends continue, the Millennium Development Goals of halving the number of children dying from poverty will be missed by 30 million children. In the year 2000, they had a big committee group, and they came up with this idea of the Millennium Development Goals, and they had all these different goals of trying to, bring about change within the world. And we're so far off it that 30 million children will be missed. And it hasn't changed really at all. In fact, it's gotten worse, which is just incredible to think, here we are fighting, but we need people to be excited and challenged about making a change. The next one is disease. Infectious diseases continue to plight the lives of the poor around the world. An estimated 40 million people live with HIV/AIDS, with approximately more than 4 million dying each year. And it's not just, HIV and AIDS, it's not just the death toll that's horrible, it's also the children that are left behind. 15 million children are orphaned due to HIV/AIDS each year. And it's on the rise in a lot of countries. Papua New Guinea, we've spent some time there. Jake has been spending a lot of time there. And they're actually, it's really, really, really quickly going up. So much so that the army is really wanting to look at doing something there, because, 10, 15 years ago, the commissioner said, it wasn't even really an issue, and now it's just skyrocketed the level of HIV in these other countries. And I think we often think it just affects Africa and those sort of places, but unfortunately it's affecting a lot of countries. Every year, 1 million people die from malaria, and it is preventable. And some 1.8 million children die every day due to diarrhea, simply because there is no clean water to drink. Something so simple. And yet this is killing millions of children. Okay, women's rights and equality. This is a massive issue. More than one woman dies every minute of every day due to preventable complications from pregnancy, childbirth, or unsafe abortions. And I think when we hear the word abortion, it's really quickly, we really think, we start to judge straight away. But a lot of these women are forced into that decision in a lot of countries for whatever reason. It could be that the parents won't get the dowry if she's pregnant, lots of different things. Parents, don't want an illegitimate child or whatever they might call it. And so these women are forced into these unsafe abortion techniques that are just killing them, and it's so unsafe. And you think about the women and how incredible our hospitals are, and yet we still complain about them. But we can have safe birth, we can have safe childbirth and pregnancies. Violence against women is a greater cause of death and disability among women aged 15 to 45 than either cancer, malaria or road traffic combined. It's a pretty powerful message. Violence against women is a greater cause of death and disability among women aged 15 to 45 than either malaria, cancer or road traffic. It's pretty depressing, isn't it? Women are less likely to have access to an education, and often they have no say over their future. Often they are seen as the lesser sex, even in their own home. I'm reading a book at the moment about a little girl from Uganda who became through the war, she became a child soldier. But she talks earlier on about her family life, and she talks about the fact that from the day she was born, she knew that her father would have rathered a girl. She was told all the time, even if her father didn't actually say the words, that, you know, should have had a son, need to have a son. And she was treated that she was just lesser, even by her mother, because this is such a cultural, difference about the idea of how they treat women. And each day she felt that she was so undervalued because she was simply a woman. And we live in Australia and we have the same rights as men. And I find it really hard to imagine being discriminated because I'm a woman. Just does not make sense to me. But it's happening all over the world. Women in many countries are seen purely as sex objects and are just something to be brought and sold. Okay, the next topic. Now, I'm only highlighting these because there's so many electives through the weekend. We want you to just get, for those, I know there's a lot of you who don't know much about social justice, and we want to try and inform you because information is power. If you watch Oprah says knowledge is power, and because if we don't know what we're talking about, then we can't really make a change. And we want to be ready and equipped for someone, if they ask a question, because a lot of people don't understand this, we need to be ready with the facts so that we can make a change about it. Okay, child soldiers. In the past decade, an estimated 2 million children have been killed in armed conflicts. Three times as many have been permanently disabled or injured. There is an estimated 300,000 child soldiers around the world. Children as young as 10 have been recruited into combat. I know a lot of you would have seen the Invisible Children, the Lost Children DVDs, and it really just highlights this whole issue of child soldiers. If you might have seen the movie Blood Diamond, and although it's not a true story, like the actual movie is not a true story, it is a true reality for a lot of children. You know, they become soldiers just to, I guess, kill those that the tribe sees as less. And they're brainwashed into believing that all they are and all they could ever be is a killing machine, that they have no other value. And often they're made to, when the rebels come into the towns, they often make the children shoot their own family so that there's no hope, there's no future to go back to. So even if you escape, you've got nowhere to go to. These children, are brainwashed into believing they have no future. They endure torture, rape, starvation, and abuse on a regular basis. It's just part of every day. Child labour. Child labour affects over 250 million children. Poverty is the main factor contributing to child labour. Many of these children work on coffee and cocoa bean farms, and you'll hear more about that, I'm sure, in the Fair Trade elective. Many of these children are kidnapped or sold believing they will have a better life, but what follows is a life of torture. If you, some of you might have gone to EasterFest or AGMF, and they had this incredible display. It was called, Make a Change, yeah, it was. And you would walk through this area. You'd get a headset and like an iPod, and as you went through, you would hear this story. You'd go through the different journeys, and you could choose child labour, human trafficking, and there was one other. I can't remember what the other one was, but you would choose which one you wanted to go to, and you would go through, and there'd be pictures everywhere, horrendous pictures. And at the same time, you'd be hearing a story, and it was a true story. It's not just someone talking. It's from they were all about children. And I went to each of them, but the one that probably hit me the most was the child labour one, because we know about it, but we don't really realise that these children don't understand why it's happening. They don't understand what the stuff that they're harvesting, where it goes. And there was a story of this little boy, and this is a true story. He was 8 years old. His parents sold him. He lived in Kenya. His parents sold him to a group of people that came in proclaiming that they would give him a great education, great health, that they would make so much money that they could send money back to support the rest of the family. So the child was excited for start, and then the rest of the family were excited. So they sent him off with a bunch of other kids from the town on the back of a truck, and they all waved goodbye, and everyone was really nice to them from the group of the men. They were all really nice until they got out of town. As soon as they got out of town, they were put under potatoes. Potatoes were put over. They had to lay in the back of the truck, and potatoes were put over the top of them so that they could smuggle them through the borders. And at that stage, the children still didn't understand what was going on. They were excited, thinking that they were going to a new place. They'd been told that they would still be in their country so they could still see their family. When they woke up, they'd gone through four countries. And the children really, I guess, didn't understand how far away they really were from home. At this stage, they were still excited, but as soon as they pulled up, and remember, they'd been driving for days and days and days, and hadn't been able to have a shower or get up and go to the toilet. They got there, and then the men pulled them off, bashed them, and all that sort of stuff. And then they went into the home, to the area where they would sleep. And there was a lot of older men and women there who'd been there for a long time. And this older man put his arm around this particular little boy who started to cry, because he started to realise that this is not going to be as fun as I thought it was going to be. And this man, the little boy said to the man, "How long have you been here?" And he said, "I've been here since I was 8. And he was 26. And the man said to him, the little boy said, "Is it fun to be here?" And he said, "Oh no, but you'll learn lots of good things." And he wanted to try and make sure that he didn't scare the child too much. And then the little boy, they started work that day, and the next week they were harvesting cocoa beans and coffee beans and different things like that. Back-breaking work, and they were being whipped and everything like that. And this little boy eventually one day went up to this man again, and he said, "I just wanted to ask," he said, "this stuff that we're harvesting," he said, "it must be incredibly wonderful and powerful. Is it a medicine? Does it save people's lives?" And the man looked at the little boy and he said, "No, it's for chocolate." And he said, "Well, what's chocolate?" He didn't even know what chocolate was. And the little boy said, "Is it powerful? Does it make people well?" He's like, "Is it like a medicine?" And he said, "No, it's a food." And he said, "Oh, it must be a wonderful food. Do they need to eat it?" And the man said, "I don't think so." And here this little boy had no idea that he thought the things that he was enduring was for a purpose, for a good purpose, for our health. Maybe he thought it was a medication or something that was going to enrich the lives of the other people around the world. And all he was doing was making chocolate for us. And he was being treated like that. It was very, I think I cried for the next few days about that story. And it's still, every time I think about it, it makes me really just cringe to think that, I guess, our addiction to chocolate is making these children and adults be tortured and harmed. And I just think it's so unfair. And I'm sure God doesn't think it's an equal balance. Our chocolate addiction does not equal out. Many of these children are kidnapped or sold, believing that they will have a better life. But what follows, unfortunately, is a life of torture. And I think we all kind of know the whole sweatshop things, and it's been around for a long time, but this issue is so much greater than what we even could imagine. The next issue is human trafficking. I'm very dry, excuse me. 600,000 to 800,000 men, women and children are trafficked across borders every year. Now, they say that that's probably very low. It's probably way under what it really is, because there's no real way of knowing just how big this, this atrocity really, really is. Approximately 80% are women and girls, and up to 50% are minors. That's 1.2 million children are trafficked every year. And I think for those, even if you haven't got children, you can imagine that you wouldn't want your child being trafficked for a purpose, for any sort of purpose that's going to harm them and I guess scar them for life, and that a lot of them will never be able to get away from it. Trafficking happens in every country. Victims are forced into prostitution, to become child soldiers. They're forced to work in sweatshops and to do hard labour. Human trafficking is the third most profitable criminal activity, second only to drugs and arms trafficking. And I was looking at the UNICEF website yesterday and they were saying that it's quickly rising. It could even overtake some of the others. It's becoming that much, increasing that much. Okay. This is one that we don't always think about, but it's war. War is a major social justice issue, one that we've become really used to. It's just, you know, we see it all the time on the news. There's currently, and these are only the ones that are known about, there's currently 60 wars going on at the moment in different countries. We only really hear about the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan, but there's 60 wars currently going on. And the ones that we see on the news, they're pretty minimal compared to the death toll of some of the other ones that are going on. We know of the things that are going on in Uganda, can still, and Sudan, in Darfur. Millions and millions of people have been killed. And our government and the world has stood by and is watching it happen because we've allowed war to become normal. It's like, you know, war is normal, but it's not. War can throw well-off countries into the pit of poverty and disease, the same way it happened with the Depression. The whole world changed because of the war. War brings out the worst in humanity. Trafficking, child soldiers, hunger and disease are more prevalent in war times than in any other time. And I guess in war times, it's really easy to think that those sort of things, you know, they're acceptable because we're in a war. It's really not acceptable. Some of the top Australian issues, and I'm not going to go into these because the people will talk about these, but one of the main ones is Indigenous equality. This includes better health, education and jobs. And our nation really needs to better understand the culture of the Indigenous people. We really don't understand it. I think if we understood it a bit more, we'd be more loving and accepting and have, a better relationship. And we really need to, address the racial ignorance. A lot of people just really don't know what's going on. And I'm sure Adrian's going to really talk and share about that with us. Homelessness. This includes removing the stigma of homelessness. People often think that people choose to be on the streets and so they don't want to help, but we need to address this whole stigma and remove that. It's not only about housing the homeless, but to see that their underlying issues are dealt with. A lot of these people have got horrible stories and no family support or whatever it might be, and they're the issues that really need to be dealt with, not just housing them. Social justice issues with children. This includes seeing children as God does, helping to ensure children are safe and protected, and advocating for their physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual needs. For me, I'm a foster parent. I've been doing it for 9 months. And I must say, it's really, really frustrating at times. The little girl that I look after, she's great, and there's never been a problem with her. She's quite sick. She has cerebral palsy and a few other things wrong with her. But the frustration is this... is the department, they are so busy. They have so many children that are desperately in need of homes. And I think in Australia, we don't really understand how many children are left in neglected homes because there's just not enough carers. CSO, which is a child safety officer, they're supposed to have no more than 12 or 15 families. In Rockhampton alone, every CSO has got at least 35 families to look after. And when they're trying to look after so many families, they can't really be watching the children closely and ensuring their protection. And I think often we look around the world and we see, you know, the starving children and all those things, and we need to address that. But there's a lot of children in Australia that have been abused and neglected, even by their parents, and often I think we stand by and allow it to happen because we always think that parents know best, but it's not always, and I think God's really asking us to step up, to take our place, as He would want that to, us to, and to be, His light in these places. You don't have to be a foster parent to do that, but there's children in our community and in our church that really have no role models, no mother or father figure, and just need some love. And it's time that the church in particular really stood up and took that role on. Last few things, there's just a couple of statistics I just want to share before we finish up. These are some heartbreaking facts, and these are not statistics are important because just so you know them and so that you can share them with people that don't know the situation. But as you, it's really easy to say them and not understand them. Every one of these people, every one of these numbers is a person. You know, every one of them is a child of God and need to be loved and cared for. Around the world, some 26,500 children die every day. And these are some equivalents. That is equivalent to one child dying every 3 seconds. That's like one, two, three. Another one has died because of things that are easily preventable. It's equivalent to 18 children dying every minute. And it's we all remember the big tsunami that went on. It's equivalent to the tsunami occurring every week. And you remember the horror that of these people that had just died. And we just couldn't understand it and we just wanted to help. But every week, the equivalent of the people that died in that tsunami, it's happening every week. And we stand by and let it happen. And it's equivalent to almost 10 million children dying every year. The silent killers are poverty, hunger, easily preventable diseases and illnesses, and other related causes. In spite of the scale of this daily ongoing catastrophe, it rarely manages to achieve, much less sustain, prime time or headline coverage. We rarely hear about it on the news, don't we? You know, these things, I find it very frustrating. I like the news. My favourite TV show is 60 Minutes. I know that's really strange for a young person. But I like to be informed about things so that I have the knowledge. But I never see the things that I really want to know about. It's always the little stories that really, you know, they're sad and heartbreaking. But the things that are really happening, the thousands and millions of people that are dying or being abused, we don't hear about them. And I think if we as a community stood up and started to say, we want to know, we want to fight this, then hopefully the media would start to realise that this is an important issue. And we can make a change. William Wilberforce was one person. Martin Luther King was one person. But they also had amazing men and women around them who to support them. And that's what we can do. And, you know, you think about the lasting impact that those people, even if you're not a Christian, you know who they are, particularly Martin Luther King Jr. We know who he is. And we remember the things that he stood for. And God's calling us to do the same. He's asking for us to be the same. And I want to encourage you, as we continue to learn today and I guess be told about the different issues that are happening, I encourage you to listen. I know when I very first went to an I'll Fight conference years and years ago, I think I cried the whole weekend and for probably ages after because it was just so heartbreaking. But I pray that God softens your heart so much that it does break your heart, because that's what needs to happen. Because if we don't allow it to really touch us, then we don't really understand the people that are hurting. And yeah, so really encourage you to listen. And we've got, who's coming up next? David Eldridge is going to come up and he's going to talk about God's heart for social justice. Often as Christians, we think we know it's kind of a God issue, but we don't really understand how much God wants justice in the world. So let's pray together. And I pray that you've been challenged this morning about some of those statistics and ready to make a change. God, this morning it can be really heartbreaking as we hear the different statistics that are going on in our world and in our own country. And God, we often stand by and we look at the statistics and we think, wow, that's incredible. But then in 10 minutes time, we've forgotten about it. God, we pray that you won't let us forget. God, that you will place every single one of those numbers, which is a life, on our heart. God, that every time we hear of injustice, that we will remember that this is all about you. It's your issue. And God, that you're ready for your people to stand up and to do something about it. And God, this morning we want to pray that as David comes to share with us about your heart and about your love for social justice, God, that we would really hear, God, because there's hope. God, as we read these statistics, we think that there isn't any hope. A lot of the problems are getting worse, but God, we know that through you there is hope, that all things are possible, and God, that we will see a change if we really stand up and get ready for it. So God, this morning we want to say we're ready, we're open, and we want to see a change in our world, and we're ready to be a part of that. And we pray that you anoint David as he comes to share with us. In Jesus' name, amen.